everybody. I am your host of the Monday Night Kickoff Show, Charles Levi, also known as Redfish Chuck. I have my partner in crime sitting here with me, Trey Levi, or also known as AKA Charles Thomas Levi III, my oldest boy. So if you hear rambling, just random ramblings in the background, that's probably him. But got a pretty stock show tonight. Got some things to talk about, some things I want to go over. And as always, joining me on the phone is Mark Landing Crew. How are you, sir?
What's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. I'm not going to make you do a whole lot of talking, man. I know you're pretty hoarse from yelling at people to get off your fish. So, no, that's good to hear. We'll get into that just for a brief second later on. But I got Mr. Becker calling in. How are you, sir?
Doing very well. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for being here.
It is my pleasure.
Thank you. I had a pretty eventful week last week. I was able to go and pick up my brand new Jackson Kudas from Mosquito Creek Outdoors. And hold on, wait for it. All right, enough of that. They're pretty awesome. Most of y'all probably know that I'm on their pro fishing team now, and I'm not the guy who's on a pro team and says it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. It is a great boat. I'm not going to lie about that. it's got some things that I wish were a little different, but, you know, we'll get into that here in a little while. But it's got a lot of really positive things. And again, we'll get into that here in just a minute. I got a chance to paddle them the other day, and I went looking for some fish, and the fish didn't cooperate with me. I saw that my cohort in crime here in Brevard County, Miss D. Kaminsky, killed the big trout, and she caught a bunch of redfish fishing an opposite end of the waterway where I was at. So I made a bad call as far as location. However, I did get to go and paddle a spot that was pretty cool that I thought previously had been turned off from, or not turned off, but closed down to recreational traffic. And I don't know if any of you guys had seen, but I posted up a picture on my Facebook page of a sign that said something along the lines of, well, let me just find the sign real quick. But the sign kind of cracked me up, and it was kind of eerie given the situation that we're in over here on the Space Coast of Central Florida. It said, area beyond this sign closed when the shuttle is on launch pad B, which I thought was pretty cool to see. And I thought it was like kind of, you know, at the same time kind of made me a little watery eyed because it's like, man, I kind of grew up watching them things fly off into space. And for now, anyways, we don't have that to look forward to every so often. But anyway, so we paddled on down through this little estuary area, and we got down to a spot that's roughly, it's probably about, I don't know, I'd say probably about a mile and a half, 2 miles worth of a paddle. I was joined by my buddy Scott Rawson and Aaron, who you guys know from being here in the chat room and from yakangler.com. Those guys both joined me, and we had a good time. We got out, we did some paddling, and looked for some fish. In this particular area, there were no fish to be had. I don't know if it was because the water was so cold or the water was so shallow, but I don't think we ever found any water much deeper than just a couple of feet. And so we had no sunshine all day long. We had 20-mile-an-hour winds to deal with all day long. Not making excuses, but I mean, in the world of fishing, there's usually reasons why fish aren't where you think that they should be. But, you know, all in all, it was a great day. It gave me a good experience, a good opportunity to get out on the water with the new boats and see what they're all about and push the limits with them a little bit. And, you know, it was fun. But, I got a couple more callers on the line. I think I got D. D, is that you?
Yep.
The Trout Slayer.
No, Vicky. Vicky.
Oh, Vicky was the Trout Slayer.
Yeah, I just watched.
All right. And I think I got Rob.
Yeah.
What's up, buddy?
Of course. How you doing?
Yeah. Good, man. Good. Glad to have you.
Right.
But you know what? It was a lot of fun. Trey's having a good time. It was a lot of fun, and like I say, I don't know. It's one of those days. Sometimes you hit them, sometimes you don't, and I didn't. So big fat goose egg for me, Aaron, and my buddy Scott. So at least I wasn't the only one. But
you got Mad Cat's fever.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It was. You know what though? It's good to every now and again get humbled like that, because I was just like, I was so confused and I thought I was like dreaming for a minute. I'm like, this can't really be happening. Like nothing, not even a ladyfish or a Jack Revel or a catfish. I'd have took a catfish. By the end of the day, I was hoping for a catfish just to catch something. But you know, something that I did come across I thought was pretty cool. Down in the south end of Mosquito Lagoon, there were a pile of shrimp, just shrimp everywhere. And me and Aaron were paddling along, and all of a sudden I look over and there's bloop, little shrimp pops out of the water, and paddle maybe a few more feet and bloop, bloop, two more shrimp get out of the water. And I'm like, this is crazy. If I had a seining net or even a cast net, I probably could have loaded up at least on shrimp for dinner. You know, I wouldn't have caught any fish, but at least I caught shrimp, you know. But,
did they actually make that sound when they popped out?
Bloop. Yep, like that. Bloop.
That's awesome.
Yeah. In my head in my head movies, Mr. Becker, they made that sound. But actually, I probably couldn't have heard a sound with the wind blowing away it was. But I did see a couple of things that were also pretty cool. I believe I found what appeared to be Florida panther tracks back by our launch area, which I didn't notice when we put in, which was interesting. And I took a couple pictures of those, and I put them up on my Facebook page as well. We heard some wild pigs sound like they were getting slaughtered off in the distance. So perhaps that was, you know, hand-in-hand with each other. I don't know. But all in all, it was fun. I mean, anytime you get on the water, it's a good time. And to put new equipment to the test and kind of beat it up a little bit was good. So, but... Did you do any fishing over the weekend, Rob?
Nope. I was in for the weekend. It was all football all the time for me.
Oh, well, there you go. And a good weekend for football it was. Go Tebow. I'm not so sure about the whole national championship thing. I mean, I'm an SEC fan myself. I'm a Florida Gator fan, but I don't think Alabama should be able to play LSU for a national title if they've already been beaten by them once. But that's just me. But it's not a football show. It's a fishing show. So I digress. Mr. Becker, did you fish?
Yes, sir, I did.
And how did you do, sir?
Well, we went to Cockroach Bay this past weekend on the southwest coast of Florida in Tampa Bay, and paddled out into the wind, and there was a little bit of confusion in the signals, I think, and some of us thought we were going to stay in the back and try and stay hidden from the wind, and some of us thought we'd go out and take a peek. Well, the winds out in the bay were just right out of the northeast, you know, 18 gusting 24, which was really unpleasant, and the tide wasn't great for where we were, so regrouped. Paddled back into the back of the bay, and I was hooked up. I don't know if he's online here, so I don't want to steal his thunder. But Haywood and I were fishing together with a few other folks, and found a couple of big schools of mullet and some a little bit deeper than usual water. We were fishing 4 to 5 foot deep water, and we were throwing the exact same lures, fishing them the exact same way, and fishing the same water from two different vantage points, 30 yards apart. And he was hooking fish, and I wasn't. And the irritation factor was, well, not quite off the scale, but it was definitely registering. And it happened that way for about the first hour. He just had the hot hand, and then it switched. We didn't move. We didn't do anything different. It just switched. And switched up on some lures, and we both wound up doing pretty well. Had a good time this past weekend.
Good deal.
And then it was nice to have the other guys who were fishing on either side of us being frustrated that the two of us were catching fish. So it was nice to switch sides from the irritated guys to the, hey, sorry, I'm just casting guys. You know, there's nothing I can do about it.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's good, man. That's a good feeling, isn't it? Every now and again when you got some guys around you and they're not doing so hot and you're just killing it, it just kind of makes you happy. I don't know. Maybe I'm cruel. I just like to see others suffer, but I like it. It's funny.
Well, it doesn't make you a bad person.
This is true. It just, that's good. That's awesome. What were you guys catching? A lot of reds and trout and stuff, or did you get into any drum?
All redfish. No drum down in there. One of the guys we were fishing near hooked up a few big trout, but we were catching all redfish. The first one I caught, actually, I had thrown a Spook Junior, a bone white Spook Junior, on a casting reel. My favorite 6'10" casting reel, casting rod, rather, Browning Midas that I've had ever since my bass tournament fishing days. It was my favorite rod, and had just about a 22-inch redfish, not a big monster, but decent shoulders, right next to the kayak, and had my arms stretched up in that hand over head swing the fish in towards the boat to get the fish grip in his face.
Right.
With the butt of the rod braced against my elbow. And he decided to take one more run, but he took it directly at the hull of the kayak, directly under the boat. And I couldn't get my arm twisted fast enough to get the rod tip down, and he snapped off about 8 inches of the rod tip.
Oh, man.
And it's the first rod I've ever broken that way. I've actually had a fly rod explode on me. There was a custom-made, very expensive blank fly rod explode when I came tight on a fish, and the guy who made it for me, fortunately, was standing right next to me. He said, "Oh, that shouldn't have happened. Must have been defective. I'll make you another one." But this is, like I said, he just went exact. If it had been an inch to either side, it wouldn't have been an issue. But he was at exactly the wrong spot for the way I was twisted, and I still landed him. And he's in the freezer now. he's gonna pay. But junior fly reel is standing here holding that rod with the tip on it. I'm not sure if I'm going to repair it or not, or just retire it, because I'm not sure where the break is that I'd actually get the flexibility out of the tip I'd want. But so that was my story. But all cookie cutter redfish we were catching, all in that 21, 22 inch range. Almost all of them multi-spot, which was kind of interesting, since they all seemed to have two spots on the right-hand side of the fish. So there must be one big fuzzy gene pool out in this area we were fishing. But it was a good time.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's great. I wish I'd had a similar story. I would even have taken a broken rod for catching a fish the other day, but. No, that's cool, man. I really need to make it over to y'all's coast. It seems that the fishing over there just tends to be a little bit more consistent than it is over here, I think. Or maybe I just suck now. I don't know.
Because Bill and I were just saying, we really need to throw the kayaks on his truck and make a road trip over and see you guys. So, the grass is always greener.
Yeah, I believe that to be true. But speaking of the grass to always be greener, Dee, are you still with me?
Yeah, I got you on one side and I got Vicky on my other phone, so I'm kind of doing tech support for her because she wanted to come online. So I'm going to hang up, Vicky, okay? All right, and okay. So when you just turn your speaker on your computer, and you should be good. All right, bye.
Awesome.
See, everybody cool. loves you, Chuck. They got to get on.
That's cool. So yeah. Tell us about your day. My God.
Oh, I don't know what happened, but we just got in the right place at the right time. It's been really windy, as you know, and we happened to launch in a spot that actually Vicky suggested. We kind of talked about it and thought this would be a good spot. But it was great for staying out of the wind completely, and we just hugged the shoreline. And we got to one spot that a flat was kind of coming out. So it started obviously at zero water depth to probably 3-4 feet. And I mean, it wasn't really too bad, but mullet were coming by. There was activity in the water. There was finger mullet and larger mullet, I should say. And the big mullets were coming by, and I'm like, hey, Vicky, cast in there, past it, bring through the bait pod, and lo and behold, there was a ton of trout in there. I was looking for redfish, and we managed to hook up on the trout, and we tried all kinds of lures. Actually, I think we limited ourselves down to a mullet-colored topwater plug. It didn't matter what style it was, because she was doing one of the I don't remember where she said that hers was made, but her topwater plug was a wooden plug with a prop on the back, kind of like the Rapala skitter walks or props or skitter props.
Right.
And one prop in the back, and she's popping it through the water, and, I mean, they were just nailing it. I originally had a bone-colored Spook Junior, and so Walk the Dog was my style, and I was getting hits on that. And there were a lot of hit and misses with the trout, so we had to slow down completely, you know. And it's the winter season coming up, and they're a lot slower than – all species are a lot slower now than in the summer. So you just have to kind of walk, you know, and do a nice cadence, click, 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 click. And most of mine came with a pop, you know, they tried to get it and they couldn't get it, and I just stopped and waited, and it just left the lure there, and then they just crushed the lure. Then hers was, you know, because she's already doing the pop and then the pause, and so she was getting them on the pause more than on the actual pop. So it was almost the same kind of pattern, just a different lure. Then they stopped biting on my bone-colored lure, and I went to the mullet, and it started all over again. Both of us were just getting them just chewed to bits. And I had her try out the 12-fathom because they stopped after a while doing top water, so we went to the subsurface, and she was bumping them on the bottom and doing her jigging thing, and I was just cranking it in because this buzztail does a makes a buzz noise when you crank it. It's got a tail that does like a prop in itself, but it's a submersible lure. And she's getting hit by these trout. I'm getting hit by trout. I mean, it was crazy. But it was really nice to see, and I told you about this, Chuck, before. There are days that you can do a topwater plug that you can fish it from 7 a.m. till 4 p.m. and get just massive amounts of fish on them, and that's what we did. We kept swapping off these two lures.
Well, yeah, it's funny because that's kind of like what happened when I came down there to fish with you. We fished for those trout with Brittany. That topwater bite never seemed to want to stop, and that was awesome. I love it when it's like that. Perhaps was it overcast where you were at? Because we had clouds all day long where we were.
No, we had kind of a transitional period in several spots, and I think that may have helped as well. We started out with clear skies in the morning, and then a cloud bank came in. It sprinkled a little bit. That's when a lot of the fish were hitting, just before the cloud came in. Cloud would move out. It got sunny. As the cloud was moving out, it, like, stopped. Then the sun would come out, and then the trout were just hitting again like crazy. Then the cloud bank came in. I mean, it was on and off like that. So towards the end of the day, it was completely clear. And we just hated to get off the water, but you have to get off in our area where we launch. You have to be out there by sundown. So we had to head back around 4:30.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was... It was fun. It was really, really fun. Vicky hasn't actually fished since August with me, so getting out there was great, and her arm was dying. I told her, it's not from your paddling, honey. It's from you pulling in all those fish.
There's nothing wrong with that. Lord knows that she needed it. Excuse me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I have to say, hey, Greg, you need to come out again, and we got to try it one more time. Greg came out with me on a charter, and I tried to put him on the fish in the same area, and we just got pummeled by not being able to get to where we wanted to go. Unfortunately, we were just shy of that spot, so we'll try it again.
There's always the next time.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was telling myself the whole way home from my paddling excursion, as I call it, not fishing trip. But like I say, I learned some things about the area where I was at, so I'm interested to find out where you were. I spoke to you prior to the show, and I hope one day soon I can join you in that quest for those big trout, because Lord knows I love to catch them.
Well, they're everywhere, and this is the season. You know, you're in that transitional period, so they were fatter than fat, too. Like I was telling you, they were, they had to have been 4-plus pounds each. Even if they were at 20, 22 inches, they
wow.
were heavy. They were filled, just filled with either food or with eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were thick up on top. They had that winter body on them.
Big,
awesome.
Yeah, just big, broad shoulders on them. I love that. That's awesome.
Oh, and then the other funny thing about it is the water temperature is really cold. I mean, I forgot to take the temp when I was there. But when you take the fish out of the water, their bodies are really chilled.
Yeah.
And they were fighting like nobody's business. If you saw that video Vicky had, I mean, they just darted and darted and fought and splashed. And a couple of them that we landed acted like snook. They did that tail push up in the air and tried to shake off the lure, which they were successful in. And, I mean, they were like, they did some coke or something. I don't know. They were just crazy fish.
Nice.
Crazy fish.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We
were so busy, I couldn't even take too many photos, you know. It was great.
No, that's cool. That's really cool. You know what? I'm glad to hear you guys did so well and caught so many trout over that 20-inch mark, because that just solidifies the fact that we didn't lose as many as we may have thought we did during the last couple of freezes. It's been incredible. I haven't caught as many over 20-inch trout as I have this year than I have probably in the last 10 years, honestly, in a single year itself. So. Man, that's awesome. I know guys that have fished for years and years and years that come into the tackle shop that still have never caught a trout over 20 inches. So kudos to you guys. That's awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got it dialed in, so that's cool.
We'll go.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But let's see. I've got a couple of things real quick I want to touch on. Tomorrow night, Tuesday night, December the 6th at Mosquito Creek Outdoors in Apopka, we have the Orlando Kayak Fishing Club has their holiday gathering with the guest speaker. Captain Rodney Smith will be there. For those of you, again, that don't know Captain Rodney Smith, he is a author and the mastermind behind the Coastal Angler magazine. So if you get a Coastal Angler magazine in your area, which is a free publication you can pick up at most of your decent tackle shops, boat shops, and that kind of place, he's the guy that started all that. His new book is called Enjoying Life on the Indian River Lagoon Coast. So it's supposed to be a pretty awesome book. I have not read the whole book yet. I've read parts of it just while at work and stuff. It's a really good book. So if you get a chance, if you're in the area, I know I got some listeners, Dee and some others that are from my area here. Stop by the creek. That's tomorrow night. I think it all starts right around 6 p.m. Yeah, dinner and socializing starts at 6 p.m. and then Rodney talks from 7, I think, to 8. And then they got some door prizes and stuff they're giving away as well. So if you can make it out, make it out. We'd be glad to see you. YakAngler.com, as always, is our partners in crime for Kayak Fishing Radio. If you're not a part of YakAngler.com yet, please do so. They are your ultimate kayak fishing resource for all things kayak fishing related. And by the way, I will have a review done hopefully tomorrow on the Cuda. And with that, I'm going to get into my quick little review for those of you who may care about the about the Cuda. I know I've been getting a lot of questions. I've had quite a few folks email me asking what I thought about the paddle, how it paddles and stability and all that stuff, and is it all cracked up that it seems to be. And sorry, my boy's in the background. The boat paddles really, really well. And it's not as quick as I thought it might would be, but then again, it's not terribly slow. Rob, are you playing with your music maker thing?
No, sorry.
Anyhow, not that I didn't like the beat, buddy, but so let's see. What was I saying? Oh, it doesn't paddle quite as fast as I would have hoped to, but then again, at the same time, it gets along pretty good. It's a little sluggish off the start, but once you get it moving, it kind of rolls pretty quick, which is nice. I didn't have a problem at all, really, paddling it into the wind, or as much of a problem as anybody else would have. I had Aaron with me again from the show, paddling side by side with me. He was in a Malibu. I think it was an X Factor something, maybe an X Factor. And I was able to keep up with him just fine. So, you know, that was good. Let's see. Stability-wise, I stood up in it in the wind, in the chop, and never once felt like I was going to fall out. So that was good. The seating is awesome. Super comfortable, as I had expected with that frame chair. It's kind of similar to the native seat. So yeah, all in all, I give it a really good rating. I mean, if I wasn't part of their team and I had tried it, I probably would want one anyway because of how stable it is, and how comfortable the boat is. Really, it's super dry. I was pretty happy about that. I've owned kayaks in the past that when I get back to the launch, I can guarantee there's going to be some water in the bottom, and I was surprised. Pleasantly surprised to find that there was none in the bottom of this particular boat. It has flush mount rod holders, which I'm not a fan of, but you know, it is what it is. Yeah, other than that, I mean, it's a great boat, man. I was really, really pumped about it and really excited to try it. And it couldn't have been a better day with it being as windy as it was. And cold of water as it was, I didn't want to get wet. So I'm kind of like Rob in that respect. I'm kind of shy of that cold water, but yeah, it was fun. We had a good time. Aaron got a chance to paddle the boat around a little bit. I think he liked it pretty well. I'm going to have both of those boats with me tomorrow night out at Mosquito Creek Outdoors. I don't know if Paul and the guys are going to want to drop it in the pool and let people paddle it around or whatever, but if they're up for it, I'm game. They can use it, whatever. Also too, I got to go by the Renzetti factory. Any of you guys out there that are fly tires know the name Renzetti. They are the premier fly tying vise manufacturer and rod building lathe manufacturer. They build just incredible products. What was that?
All right.
Well, I like them. I'm not a huge fan of the price tag, but I think they're pretty good. Let's see. Anyway, got out there, got to meet, Sam Root finally. I was pretty pumped on that. Been a fan of Sam's for a long time. And those of you that don't know Sam Root, go to saltyshores.com and just look at the work that he has put out over the last few years, i.e. video and picture taking. And the guy is basically breaking barriers in, as far as photography and videography go over on the West Coast, but he's all over the place. Got to show off the boat a little bit to him and saw some of my buddies from the various fly tackle shops that I get a chance to frequent. So it was good. Soft Flip Palette was there. Hell's Bay Boatworks was there. I think there was a Dragonfly kayak there. There was a bunch of stuff there. So it was cool. Very cool. See, I was looking in the chat room real quick, see what's going on. Tomorrow's the Orlando County. Yeah, I discussed that. If you RSVP'd, yeah. I got that message that if you guys want to go to that, unfortunately, all the dinner spots have been taken. That we've already got 60 people that are scheduled to be there, and they had to put a cap on the food, so 60 people are going to get dinner if you've RSVP'd by now. If you haven't, then you can still show up and enjoy all the festivities. You just won't get fed. So if you're nice to me, I might let you sneak a piece of food off my plate. Probably not. Steve, looks like Steve Chapman's probably going to be out there. I see Steve's in the chat room. I got a full chat room. Appreciate everybody joining us tonight. But, wintertime stuff. Well, let's talk about some wintertime tactics. We've been talking about it for the last couple of weeks now. Obviously, I could use a bit of a refresher course, it seems, in finding other places to go rather than just saying the hell with it and paddle around and, you know, look for flopping shrimp. But I guess Dee probably hit the nail on the head with it as far as fishing the areas where you've got a little bit deeper water. I tried to stay in the shallow water hoping that sun would finally peek out and warm the water up, but it never really happened. I know I spooked a couple fish. You can hear them drum when they take off, and I saw a few tails, maybe two tails, and the two that I saw, it was like so quick and the wind's pushing you so fast that you barely had time to do anything. What was your water temp like over there, Becker?
That's a really good question. It was above freezing and below boiling. I didn't have a thermometer with me. I didn't have a thermostat either. But it's been cool. To start
64
with.
Over the weekend.
a little bit tells me that it was 64 over the weekend.
Yeah.
But I think if it comes from Rob, I got to go. It was 64 over the weekend. So that was that's where it was. It wasn't bad. But it was definitely cooler than it's been, and I think we had a little bit of sunshine in the morning, followed by the clouds, the winds just pushing all that water out of the bay for the outgoing tides. You know, kind of made the shallow stuff cool off a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. Wow. So, did you guys mainly find your fish on soft plastics? I didn't catch that.
Actually, no, it was a combination. We started out on top waters with the Spook Juniors. Bill started doing really well on his go-to bait, the Gold Dart, made by Exude. In gold color, and I was about to switch to. I lost actually a top order to a nice fish. Must have had a crack in the leader that I didn't recognize. I decided there were tons of bait fish around. I mean, the fish were diving on them, and you could see the flashes. And I said, I'm going to switch to. And I've heard it pronounced Miradine or Miradine. So if I pronounce it the way you don't like, correct me, and I'll fix it. But one of those little baits, and my first cast, third cast, and fifth cast with a Miradine/Miradine, I hooked decent fish and stuck with that for most of the rest of the day until they turned off.
Good deal. It's kind of like Rapala, man. Some people say Rapala, some people say Rapala. If you ask the company, it's Rapala, so
right.
Whatever. Potato, potato, tomato, tomato.
Potato, tomato.
Yep, that's right. I don't know. I don't really have, man. You know, it's funny because I'm kind of against using hard baits in the wintertime, and I don't know why. And obviously, Dee and you have showed that that's dumb. And to not use them. So I think I'm going to reassess my wintertime box and change some things up. And yeah.
Yeah, for me it wasn't, you know, I don't have anywhere near the experience you guys do in saltwater this time of year. I actually started just a year ago. Today was the first day I'd done any fishing in Florida, aside from a couple,
happy,
you know,
anniversary.
Charters. Thanks. you know, since I accepted a couple charters when I was going on cruises and stuff like that, but it was more keying on what the fish activity was like. If they hadn't been, you know, popping the top water and we hadn't seen the other stuff going on, I probably would have gone to like a 3-inch golden brim paddle tail or something like that on an 1/8-ounce jig head to get it down and keep it on the bottom and just fish that real slow. But it seemed like the fish were a lot more active. The same thing Dee was saying. I was surprised at how active the fish were and how aggressive the fish were. Even those cookie-cutter redfish, you know, the 21, 22, 23-inch redfish, were just blistering. Every hit was a rock crusher. They were just blasting the baits. It's like they were, you know, getting a running circle and starting and then zipping across the bay to hit the plugs or to hit the dart, even the gold dart. The fish Bill was catching on the gold dart, most of the time it didn't even have a chance to hit the bottom before the fish were on it. So with them being that aggressive, I figured I could fish the hard plug and fish it a little faster than, you know, just a real slow. I wasn't zipping it like it would if the weather had been a little bit warmer, but the twitch, twitch, pause, I lengthened the pauses out a little bit to slow the bait down, but they seemed to like whatever I was doing with it because, you know, my elbow was sore by the end of the day from absorbing those hits.
Yeah.
So went well.
That's awesome. Last winter I did so well with the soft plastics and every winter previous to that, that I just really never found a reason to try and switch up and do anything different. Even catching a big trout on the soft plastics, still using the smaller, excuse me, still using the smaller paddle tails, rigging them weedless or rigging them on a small jig head. I think that vibration, I think Dee kind of hit on it a little bit too. The vibration coming off of what she was throwing underwater seemed to trigger a pretty good bite. I think that had a lot to do with it too. That kind of gets them a little fired up, even when the water's cold. I was surprised, honestly, that the water was as cold as it was where I was at. It was pretty chilly. Like, we got out of the kayaks for a little while so I could take a couple pictures, and by the time we got back in, my toes were cold, like almost numb cold. And I, you know, I didn't expect it to be quite that chilly. I kind of switched up tactics about halfway through the day, and I was just trying to focus on trying to catch a flounder for dinner because I figured the water's cold. There's some bait moving around. There's some shrimp popping around right inside the grass, right along the edge of the grass line and the sand. The sandbars right off the sides of the islands. Yeah. That's actually the scientific sound that they make. I've perfected my shrimp calling. It's kind of like turkey calling, but different. But anyway, thanks a lot, Greg Becker. So I switched up, again, tactics. I slowed down, or tried to slow down. That's another thing I wanted to bring up about the CUDA. If you should so decide to buy a CUDA, and I highly recommend the boat as a whole, a drift sock would probably be a pretty good idea. If you are anywhere near the size of a man as I am, I'm 6'1", I weigh about 255, 260, depending upon how many cheeseburgers I've eaten that day. And I was like a kite sitting in the high position. And I looked back to look at Aaron in his Malibu, and he's like, we all started off on the same line, kind of working the flat, you know, in a straight line. I look back at Aaron, and Aaron's probably 200 to 300 yards behind me. And he has no drift sock. He's got nothing going on. I'm just like, I'm basically on a plane. I could have been offshore trolling for dolphin or something as fast as I was scooting along the surface. So it definitely slides across the surface with little to no resistance. So I will be purchasing a drift sock or making my own drift sock here shortly. So, but, you know, I didn't have any luck with flounder either. So it was just one of those days. But, you know, I've got an idea of a spot well, I know of a spot where a buddy of mine had fished about 3 or 4 days prior to me going, and he did pretty good on the flounder. It was north of Beacon 42 in the Mosquito Lagoon, up around the Clinker Islands. No particular island itself, but pretty well north of 42, just bopping in and out of the islands in the sandbar areas. So for those of you that came down and fished with us, not President's Day weekend, it was the next time you guys came down when we didn't catch the 200 fish. It was the time where we didn't hardly catch any fish. You guys know what I'm talking about when I say the Clinker Islands. It's the area that we went down where we were getting waked out by the big boats and stuff. It was fun. And you can kind of see the lay of the land there. I know, Rob, me and you had talked about it. It looked really fishy, and having the way the sand kind of rolled off of those islands and turned right into grass right away. And I think, didn't you spook a big flounder when you were walking off the one of the islands or something?
No, that wasn't me, but I remember hearing that.
Oh, maybe it was Vicky. It might have been Vicky that did it.
No, I think, no, she was doing the lady fish thing, and I was staying in the kayak. So whoever was walking out on the, it was probably Rob. Somebody was walking out. I don't know. Somebody was walking out.
Rob and his meat stick. And so then we went and... real quick, let me go back. I missed the Thursday night show because I was in Apopka picking up my kayaks, and I get a text from Chip. And Chip says, if you miss the show, you have to listen to it or something. And he goes, just listen to the end. I think D was crying. And I wasn't sure if that was a good thing or if somebody like hurt D's feelings. But oh man, it was interesting. So I listened to it. And I feel bad for Rob because obviously we all know what he meant. Well, we all hope we know what he meant originally. And it was interesting. Made for fun. It made for good fun, Rob. You were a sport about it. And
right.
But I will too, just so you know, be hopefully bringing my meat stick with me to Chuckalewski
I must say, I bring mine everywhere I fish.
Yeah, me too. But, I mean, my meat stick with me to Chuckalewski to fish for those big lemon sharks and stuff. And, again, as I said before, Rob, if you should just so happen to have room in the camper.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, some straight-up bushback kayak going on.
Oh, God. What a mess. Anyway, so yeah, we're gonna start calling Rod from now on. Rod.
Oh my.
We ain't half as thick as you messed up, Jizz.
Yeah, dude.
You got pretty mouth.
Y'all ain't right.
And see Steve Chapman and Mike Ortego that are in the chat room. They thought that only their show was rather inappropriate. Oh, God. Anyhow, so wintertime tips and techniques. Obviously, if you find mullet, fish around the mullet. And if you see D, follow D. No, I'm kidding.
That's fine.
Make sure you're really loud.
Right. Yeah, super loud. And have like 15 kids with you that don't know how to paddle. And put a GPS tracking device on her kayak. No, kidding. Seriously, look for bait. Look for obvious signs. I really thought when I found all those shrimp that I had finally found the spot, and it should have been loaded up with fish, whether it be trout or reds or black drum or whatever. And I stayed in that... Yeah. I stayed in that one spot for a little while, and it never happened. So, whatever. The slow is definitely the key. Again, Dee touched on when she was working the top water plug, it was a almost painstakingly slow retrieve. It's just the way it needs to be right now. And so, you know, it's fun time to fish, though, because you can fish all the way into the late afternoon, and it's not like in the summertime where the water gets so stinking hot, those fish run for the hills, and then you're done. You know, you can literally fish all day. So, I don't know. I'm looking to hopefully get out again this week at some point and see what's going on. Hopefully I'll find a few fish to tug on. But at least I did do what I wanted to do, and that was get the boats out, paddle them around in rough conditions and see how they really handled, and then also to introduce them to Mr. Redfish, which I did by running them over. So I guess if you spook them with the boat, it kind of counts as introducing them, but whatever. But, yeah, so.
What's the paint job, man? Paint job,
man,
on that. And what is that yellow one called again?
The yellow one's called the
Yellow Jacket.
Yellow Jacket. Yep, it's a Yellow Jacket. And I was really surprised on how good it came out. I knew it was going to look cool. Thanks, bud. I knew it was going to look really cool, but I didn't realize it was going to come out looking that good. And, you know, my only theory now is hopefully that an alligator doesn't think that it looks like one of them on the sides and come and see me. Get close and personal, because there was a lot of them
out
there.
It'll never get you, because as high up as you sit in that thing, you'll be fine. What, are you about 8 inches off of the water?
Dude, it's pretty high. Like, I'm not even going to lie. The first time I sat in the raised position, I felt like I was going to just fall out of the boat. Like, I wasn't used to it, you know? And it makes such a difference. For a long day's worth of paddling. When you're sitting up that high, I can sit with my knees bent and my feet flat on the floor, and it was like, oh, man, this is great. And you can kick.
It's like sitting on a chair.
Yeah, you can lay the
chair.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And you can lay the seat back just a little bit to kind of half recline it a little bit. And in the center of the boat, there's a really nice dry storage area. And I kind of kicked my feet up on that. Didn't even have my feet down on the ground. I had my feet crisscrossed up on that. And I was like lounging back like I would in my man chair here at the house. And so comfortable, man. And you could paddle just as easy from that position as you can from the low position. And standing is a breeze from that position with the assist of the, I guess I call it a sissy ribbon or something like that. It's got a, the guys at Jackson put a stainless steel bar just forward of the dry storage that's in the center of the boat. And attached to that is a strap that you can grab a hold of to help pull yourself up or help sit yourself down in the seat, which is pretty cool. And I did utilize that quite a bit. So, no, I appreciate that, Rob. It is a good-looking boat, man. I'm not gonna, and it's eye-catching. You know, everybody that saw it at the Renzetti show all agreed on that. Even the slate color that I wasn't really fond of when I first got it has grown on me since. And, yeah, good stuff. But, listen, if you guys
are
good.
When it's in the raised position and you're sitting there, does it feel kind of tippy since that boat's only like 29 inches wide?
It does at first, but once you realize that you're not going to flip out of the thing, that kind of like all goes away. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like the first time that I was in a Heritage Redfish, for instance, and somebody told me, oh, yeah, you can stand in that boat. And the first time I ever got in the boat, I was like, I ain't standing up in this thing. Are you kidding me? But once you stand up and you realize that, you know, it's not going to turn over unless you do something really, really stupid, your mind just kind of like doesn't allow you to fall out, kind of. Does that make any sense? Like, it definitely will throw you off for a second. But you really gotta like forget about the fact that you're so high up, because it does kind of mess with you a little bit. I can kind of equate it to if you guys have ever been on a flats boat, and the first time you ever climbed up on a poling platform, and the boat took a hard swing one way or the other, and you felt like you might have, you know, you might take a step over and fall off, but you realize that I got all this space, I'm not going to. It's kind of the same thing. When I sat in the low position, I did try and rock it to one side pretty hard to see just how far over I could take it, and the boat would almost has like a shutoff point where it won't, it really won't turn any further over without me knowing I'm going in the water. You know what I'm saying? There's a definite, definite shutoff there. So, kudos to them. I mean, they did a great job. I think that by it being as stable as it is of a platform, I think it did sacrifice a little bit of the speed. But, you know, whatever. Again.
Can I make a comment on that?
Yeah.
As you all know, I'm native and we sit up high too. When you have your paddle blade at a different angle because you're sitting up higher, you're losing a lot of the blade usage when you're paddling. So you're not dipping in the water as far. Some people compensate by getting a longer paddle blade. You know, I think mine is like a 240 centimeter. Yours might be 230 or something. I know it's not that much, but I also have a larger paddle blade, so I dunk it a lot more. So I get a lot more push. I get a lot more water when I'm paddling.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. I actually kind of compensated for the fact that the blade wasn't going as far in as, wow, as far in as I would have liked for it to have. But by just kind of like dropping a shoulder down and kind of, you know, paddling a little bit harder. And I did notice that when I did that, it definitely kind of sped up just a little bit. So I know I've got a couple of things I have to buy coming up, is a couple new paddles and then a couple new PFDs. And
plus you're holding a lot more wind. You know how when we stand and we're fishing, sight casting, or just, you know, looking around, your body is collecting more of the wind, so you're not going, you're catching more of a wind like a sail would.
Right.
When you're sitting down low, it's kind of going over, you're more aerodynamic. But.
Yeah, oh yeah. And it was pretty funny, I should have snapped a picture, but my buddy Scott is about the size of a bean pole, and he was able to like make himself aerodynamic sitting in the seat by like crunching forward.
That's what I do. Yeah.
Well, that works. That works out great if you don't have the pony keg hanging off your abdomen, because I have a cutoff point that's less than 90 degrees. So you know, I'm kind of like out of it. So it has done. Now check this out. The CUDA has now inspired me to get a different paddle, to get a sea anchor of some kind, or something to slow me down a little bit on a drift, and for me to lose a bunch of weight. So in case I have to paddle into the wind, I can make myself aerodynamic as well. And the crazy thing is,
you don't get any of that. Just paddle harder and you'll lose some weight.
Listen.
Sorry. I won't go there.
I paddled just about as hard as any human being in my health situation could without having a freaking heart attack. So a couple of times I'm like, oh, here comes the big one. But whatever.
Can you add like an ab roller to your seat?
No, but I'm gonna add an ab roller to my yakangler.com Christmas wish list.
Ooh, good name
drop. That's good.
Yeah, whatever. So there you go. That's the deal. The boat again, and guys who know me know that I'm not saying it because I'm on their team. It's just the way it is. I'm really, really pleased with the boats, and I think you will be too if you give it a shot. So anybody who's listening to the show that is ever down in my way that wants to take them out and for a little joyride, feel free. Call me. I don't even have to go with you. I'll just send you off on your way. You can take them. Or show up at a place like Mosquito Creek Outdoors where you can try before you buy in their giant swimming pool. If you guys haven't seen that picture I posted on Facebook, it is it's a sight to behold. I wanted to do laps in it the first day I saw it. I was like, man, I feel like just jumping in that thing. But cool. So I'm almost out of time. Mark, I know I kind of let you slide on today's show because your voice is almost gone, but are you planning on fighting off any tourists and catching more stripers on the beach?
I don't know. We've got a good cold front moving through. I know you guys, you know, hate the cold right now, but it's, you know, we're hoping for it. Just, you know, drop the water temps a little bit more. A lot of the stripers in our area haven't fully congregated on the tip of the eastern shore yet. So what we're hoping to have happen is for the water temps to drop, those northern fish to push down and hold on the eastern shore so we can get on the big stripers.
Oh, very
cool. One thing I was noticing for the stripers I was catching was that they wanted a big bait. So I was throwing a big yellow darter that I usually use for up in Montauk this time of year. And, they were just crushing it. So, you know, I see they're feeding on mullet. So they're going to be the mullet here. I think that's really going to be a huge draw for these fish that have been crunching on sand eels and small bunker. So, you know, give it hopefully this weekend. We've got a really nasty cold front moving through. Should be starting tonight, ending Thursday. So we should have it around, you know, next Saturday, Sunday. It'll be on.
Sweet. And for those of you guys that don't know, Mark is our Wednesday night host of Kayak Fishing Radio up in West Virginia. I'm sorry, Virginia Beach. Ah, I always get that left out. My bad.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Wow.
I like the way you talk.
You like the way I talk. Biscuits and gravy, baby.
I like potted meat.
So anyway, Dee, do you have any charters this week, or do you have anything going on? Rob, I don't want to hear anything out of you, Mr. Meatstick.
Not me. Rob's Meatstick. Yeah, he's going to need that in just a little chuckle-o-ski, whatever you say.
Dee, go ahead, baby. Do you have anything going on this week? You got any openings, or what's going on?
I have charter on Wednesday and one on Friday.
Well, there you go.
Pretty much full.
There
not
you go.
Really full, but if anybody wants to still go, it's fine. But weather isn't permitting really that much for. Sorry for the weekend. It's going to start all over again. I guess the blowing.
Oh, excellent.
No, not excellent.
Right. No, that. Yeah, I was being sarcastic. Rob, are you fishing
Thank
this
you.
Week?
I don't know. I got a bunch of family stuff to do this weekend, so it remains to be seen. Our weekly cold front is coming in Wednesday and Thursday. Not supposed to be super drastic or anything like that, so we're supposed to have good weather by the weekend, but I don't know. It still remains to be seen, you know.
Right.
Family stuff, birthdays, and all that stuff, so... We'll see. I didn't say anything.
No, you didn't, dude. It's the chat room. You getting owned, dude. Mr. Becker, I got 60 seconds. You fishing?
Planning to. Not sure what's going on. Haven't checked the honeydew list for the weekend, but as long as we don't get another 7-day front pushing through with gale force winds, we might be out there and see what happens.
Good deal. Good deal. All right. Well, folks, that's all the time we have here at the Brokeback Mountain Kayak Fishing Radio, whatever has become of my show tonight. Thank you very much for showing up. I appreciate it. Everybody who's in the chat room, guys, check out all the shows throughout this week. I'm going to be out of time here in just a second. Check out my Facebook page and be my friend. I want to be your friend too. YakAngler.com. The Orlando Kayak Fishing Club, and see you tomorrow night. Good night. That's it. Sign out.